Hey guys, it's Dave from the Gregory Dickow team. Last night during our midweek service, we switched things up and decided to take a look back with gratitude at several different moments Gregory Dickow shared during this quarantine season. I hope you enjoyed this special mashup episode. Also, remember to subscribe and drop a rating on the podcast. Enjoy.
I want you to consider God's track record. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. Every word has come true of all of his good promises. Every word has come true. God's track record is flawless. Not one of his promises has ever been broken. Now, if you are believing God for a promise that you've prayed for, a promise that God made, but you haven't seen it show up yet, you have to look at God's track record and all the other promises that he made to give you confidence about that promise that you need. As you go back and look at what God has done in your life, you'll see his track record is flawless. He's never let you down. He's never left you. You're still standing right now. Why do you think you're standing? It's by grace. It's by faith in this grace in which we stand. We stand in the grace of God. Fear leaves when you can rely on something that can't fail. Let me say that again. Fear leaves when you can rely on something that can't fail. If I just, use this illustration here, this is the chair that I'm sitting on, the stool. It has a 100% track record for me. In other words, not one time in all of my time sitting here for the last, 150 days or whatever the heck it's been. Every time that I've sat on this stool, it's worked. Got me? I don't have any fear about this stool. This just a stupid little chair. And I don't have any fear about whether it's going to work. If this chair that was made by man can have that good of a track record and therefore drives fear out of my life when I go to sit down, how much more does God have a great track record? So when I give, when I tithe, I know he's going to meet my needs. I know it's going to come back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. When I pray and ask God for something, I know I can rejoice and thank him that it's done in Jesus' name because his track record is flawless. There are over 1,000 predictions or prophecies in the Bible, promises that God made before they actually happened. The only prophecies that haven't come to pass yet are the prophecies about Jesus' second coming. And that's because he hasn't come yet. A mathematical study was done that just for 17 out of 1,000 prophecies, the chances of just 17 of them coming to pass is 1 out of 450 billion times a billion times a trillion. That the likelihood that 17 prophecies from the Bible could actually be fulfilled, the odds mathematically, 1 out of 450 billion times a billion times a trillion. Yet not one of God's promises have ever failed. That's a track record you can take your seat on. That's a track record you can have confidence when you sit on. That's a track record that deserves to be trusted and rejoiced over.
Does God speak? How do we know God's voice? Because sometimes we feel condemned, sometimes we feel guilty, sometimes we feel ashamed, sometimes we just beat ourselves up, sometimes we think God's mad at us, sometimes we think God's judging us, sometimes we think God's not listening, sometimes we think God's so far away. All of those feelings and thoughts have to subject themselves to this truth. And what is the truth? You're his dearly loved son or daughter, and you bring him great joy. What? When will I bring him great joy? After I do some stuff for God, after I clean up my act. Wait a minute. Jesus didn't do anything yet. He didn't do anything yet. And he brought the Father great joy. Just being his son brought the Father great joy. We got to get this. We got to get this. We got to get this. When you get this, you'll get everything. When you get this, it'll all make sense. When you realize this truth, that you have the victory, that you are approved, that you are loved. He says he loves you just the way you are, but he'll never leave you. Here's the thing. He doesn't clean you up and then say, okay, now I'll accept you. He accepts you just the way you are. And then a process of transformation takes place because now your life feels safe in the love of the Father. It is amazing to me how people can live by faith, how people can live by faith without even realizing it. Do you know that right now in your home, you're living by faith in what the scientists told you. You're living by faith in what the virus is telling people. I'm not accusing you of anything bad. I'm just saying that look at how our actions are the result of what we believe. And if you can bear with me for a moment. Again, I'm not being critical of anybody or anything. I'm trying to illustrate the point about faith and living by faith. And that is that if you notice, everybody's wearing a mask now when they go into public places. Everybody's wearing a mask. Everybody's washing their hands till their skin has changed colors, right? All because, listen to me now, all because we believe in an invisible thing that we've never seen called a virus. We believe in something that nobody has ever seen. Have you seen the virus? No, but you're wearing a mask. Have you seen the virus? No, but you're staying home. Have you seen the virus? No, but when you walk by somebody, you kind of walk a few feet away from them, right? As you're walking down the sidewalk, you're like, you know, kind of casually trying to, without them noticing, without being offensive. You notice how in our psyche, we believe that this virus could be anywhere at any time. But when you get into trouble, you're like, God, where are you? We don't believe that God can be anywhere at any time, but we have more faith in the virus that can be anywhere at any time than we do of God. They can be anywhere at any time. And all I'm saying is if you're going to believe in an invisible virus, believe in the invisible spirit of God, believe in the visible promises of God, believe in the invisible things that God said to believe in. Because that's what's going to cause you to experience peace and joy and victory in every area of your life. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And we're walking by faith with a virus. Everybody's got their cool mask, the skeleton mask, the bank robber mask. You know, everybody's got being creative with their masks and in some ways having some fun with it. But, you know, but we take the scientists at their word, and yet the scientists have changed their facts multiple times. This is not a political point that I'm making. This is just reality. Remember they said masks won't help you at the beginning. And now they're saying masks are essential. Hey, listen to me now. If masks work, then we should all wear them and go back to life as we had it before. If they don't work, why are we wearing them? The point is that we're taking the scientists' word, and yet we examine and question and doubt and challenge God's word. God, where are you? God, how are you going to meet all my needs? This is why we need to learn to live by faith, and this is why I'm illustrating this, is that you kept hearing the president, you kept hearing the governor, you kept hearing Fauci, you kept hearing these people tell you about an invisible thing that you've never even seen. And yet you have faith that it's everywhere, all the time. And wherever you go, you may just run into it. And why don't we believe the same thing and even use this as a springboard to believe that
His goodness and His mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Why don't we expect goodness and mercy to show up? We're expecting the virus to show up more than we're expecting the goodness and mercy of God to show up in our lives. All I'm trying to do is help illustrate to you how capable you are of believing and having faith. So don't now bail on believing God's promises when you believe a scientist that gives you inaccurate facts and then changes the facts, and then you believe him again. And I'm not criticizing, I'm saying, isn't it funny that their facts change and we believe them all along? And yet God's word never changes. And Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we should be believing him more than we're believing what the doctor says, more than we're believing what the scientist says. I'm not telling you that you have to doubt what the scientists have told you. All I'm pointing out is even when their facts changed, you adapted and you believed them. If you did, how much more should you believe God? And if you didn't believe the science, okay, that's fine because those facts changed. So no wonder I don't have a ton of confidence in the government, but I have a whole lot of confidence in God's government, the kingdom of God, the love of God. The
Greek word for "it is finished" is the word, one word, tetelestai. And it was a word that was used in business, which meant tetelestai, the debt is fully paid. It was also used in judgment and prison and the court system, which meant the sentence is fully served. And then it was also used as a military term, tetelestai, which meant the battle has been fully won. So when Jesus said it is finished, this is what's going to bring you rest, he meant three things. Your debt of sin is fully paid. The sentence for punishment and judgment for us, for what we deserve, the time of being in bondage has been fully served. And the battle against the devil and sin and all the enemies of sickness and disease and viruses, the battle has been fully won. Rest in the finished work of the cross. It is finished. Tetelestai. Debt is fully paid. Sentence is fully served. Victory is fully won. The battle is fully won, and you get the victory. Jesus fights the battle. You and I get the victory. He fights the battle on the cross. We get the victory. Say that, I've got the victory. Say that, I've got the victory. You've got the victory over fear. You've got the victory over the devil. You've got the victory over death. You've got the victory over sin. You've got the victory over anxiety. You've got the victory over worry. You've got the victory over sickness and disease and viruses of every kind. You've got the victory over financial problems and debt. I declare peace flows like a river in your life right now. I prophesy peace to your situation. I prophesy peace in this earth over this virus. We command this virus to stand down, and we declare peace over the hearts and minds of every person that we come in contact with and every person that we have a relationship with. We prophesy, and I prophesy peace over your soul, your body, your finances. Peace. Be still. Guess what? Everything's going to be all right.
It doesn't matter how it looks right now. Your story isn't over. The story doesn't end there. Are you in pain? The story doesn't end there. Are you worried? The story doesn't end there. Are you nervous? The story doesn't end there. Are you having a bad year, bad decade, bad life? Your story doesn't end there. Do you understand what I'm saying?
The story doesn't end there. Jesus died for our sins, but the story didn't end there. Then he was buried, but the story didn't end there. Then it says he rose from the dead, but the story didn't end there. Then he appeared to Cephas, but the story didn't end there. Then he appeared to the apostles, but the story didn't end there. And then he appeared to Paul, but the story didn't end there. And then he has appeared to you and to me, for we are what we are by the grace of God. You're a part of his story. You're a part of history. You're a part of God's story, and your destiny is going to make this history so much more better. Your story isn't over. Your story doesn't end there. He says, when you find yourself struggling in your faith, wavering in your faith, go over that story again. Item by item, that long litany of hostility that Jesus plowed through. Because when you go over his story again and again, item by item, it will shoot adrenaline into your soul and you'll feel alive again. Oh, you're coming out of this Friday and you're gonna feel alive again. You're coming out of this depression and you're gonna feel alive again. You're coming out of this divorce and you're gonna feel alive again. You're coming out of this addiction and you're gonna feel alive again. You're coming out of this pandemic and you're gonna feel alive again. You're coming out of this debt and you're gonna feel alive again. You're coming out of this virus. You're coming out of this cancer. You're coming out of your loneliness and you're gonna feel alive again. The adrenaline of Jesus is gonna shoot through your soul. We'll be right back.